I now call to order the December 21st open session of the Pacifica National Board. It's 8:35 p.m., 8:36 p.m. on the East Coast. Mr. Secretary, please take roll.
Okay, here we go. Grisa? Grisa?
Here.
Grisa, here. Jonathan? Alexander?
Here.
Okay, David Beaton said he'll be in about a little bit later. Jim Brown?
Here.
Jim Brown's here. Adriana? Sinesh?
Present.
Adriana is here. Bill Collier?
Yes.
Collier is here. Catherine Davis?
Here.
Davis is here. Benito? Here. Not on yet. Okay, Bondagana? Not on. Okay. Jan Goodman?
Here.
Jan is on. Okay. Sabrina and Jacobs? Sabrina?
Here. I'm here.
Yeah, Jacob is here. Ken Wofford? Not on yet. Robert Mark is not on. Sitting Roberts? Sitting? Okay, Robert is here. Mansour Saba?
Are there?
Mansour is here. Kian Spokes? Not on yet. Nancy Sordid? Not on yet. Okay, Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Okay, Steinberg is here. Margaret is here. Femba? Shibanda? Not on yet. Andrea Turner? Not on yet. Mosquito?
Present.
Mosquito is here. Okay. So 13 people, which is quorum. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Aki. I want to identify my timekeepers. Aki,
I'll be happy to do the personal.
Yeah, right. We'll stay the same. That'd be fine. I'll do the item.
Okay. Are there any excused absences tonight?
I haven't received any. No.
Well, we do have one resignation of Robert Mark.
Right.
And I am sorry to see Mr. Mark go.
I don't accept his resignation, and I would ask that we vote on accepting or rejecting his resignation.
Wholeheartedly, I agree.
On the board, Ms. Goodman?
Mr. Chair, this is Sabrina. That's already been explained. It's kind of shaky through our bylaws, but if you look at the corporation code, it clearly states that if he puts his resignation forth, then it has to be immediately accepted.
Please wait to be recognized. Point of order, Mr. Chair.
She's the vice chair, and she has a right to speak. Moreover, Ms. Goodman, I haven't recognized anyone. Mr. Mark clearly made his intentions known in email. I know we all did receive the email outlining in the bylaws when it comes to accepting resignations, and we know the reasons to accept and not accept resignations. We have no authority to make him stay on this board, and we'd be crazy if we try. Moving right along, the next item on the agenda is, I'm sorry, were there any other excused absences?
Rhonda Garner is present.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Okay, I guess there were no more absence. And so at 10 minutes, we have agenda approval. Item number two, 10 minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the
order?
Adriana?
Roberts.
And Roberts.
You have a
Adriana?
You have a point of order from Roberts.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. What's your point of order?
My point of order is that the agenda places...
No, I'm sorry, I was calling on Adriana, but Adriana had a point of order first.
No, I said that Senator Roberts had a point of order. I clarified before.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can hear you better now. Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Roberts. I'm sorry.
The agenda, the draft agenda that the Secretary sent out is incorrect in that the bylaws are very clear that affiliate directors' elections and the interview process as part of that must take place at the, as must be on the agenda at the first, as the first piece of business. So any idea of having a consultant or anything other than the affiliates process at the beginning is inappropriate.
Okay, Ms. Roberts, did you say that was a section in the bylaws?
It's in the bylaws. It's also something we voted on at a previous meeting when we approved the motion to set up the actual interviews.
Okay. What section in the bylaws, if you have that, you could forward that to us. But we are going to hear from a consultant at a time certain of 8:45, unless they're ruled differently. Perhaps you can clarify that for Ms. Roberts.
Point of order, Jan Goodman here.
I'm still dealing with one point of order, and I'd like to not only deal with one point of order at a time. It makes it a little bit easier because they do tend to pile up. But I have you down, Ms. Goodman, with a point of order. Aki, do you want to clarify the position of the affiliates directors' interviews on the agenda? And I'll remind you, we have it at a time certain of 9 o'clock, and that's when the people expect to come on. And we vote on this by email, and I'm not even sure. I think it's over the next 30 days. Mr. Secretary, can you clarify that for us?
Yeah, the affiliate director's interview doesn't begin till 9 o'clock Eastern time. There's still 20 minutes, so there's other things that could be done in time. Even though it was stated as a first item, we can't get to that for 20 minutes, so we should do other things in the meantime.
Thank you very much, Aki. I have a point of order from...
Hello, can anyone hear me?
I can hear you, Ms. Roberts, but your phone is breaking up a little bit, but go ahead.
To finish what I was saying, I sent the bylaw language at least an hour ago. Both the bylaws and the motion that we approved were specific about when these interviews were to start. It also said that people should be asked about their availability, not slotted in and told when they should come on to the call. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. Are there any rules that are going to be observed?
Yes, there are lots of them. And the bottom line is there's nothing we can do at this point. Moving them higher on the agenda won't get them on the line any faster. And as I said, we have a consultant who is going to come on the line at about 5:45. And as soon as he gets on, he's going to speak briefly, and we're going to move on with our agenda, and we'll be on the affiliates directors pretty soon. The minutes approval is only at 5 minutes. Are there any other that's my ruling? Ms. Goodman, what's your point of order?
Adriana had a point of order before Jan.
No, she was your point of order. I already tried to call on her. Ms. Goodman, what's your point of order?
That's not so. She asked for the floor, and she said that she heard my voice before she spoke. So when you called on her,
she had a point of order.
No, it's not actually up to you guys to decide what order you're in. I mean, I take the accurately as I can. However,
bring the member to order.
I'm going to ask you all to come to order. If Ms. Kasanev has a point of order, I'll call on her after Ms. Goodman. Ms. Goodman, what's your point of order?
My point of order was basically the same as Robert's point of order, is that the bylaws state this is supposed to be the first order of business. But, you know, if you have people go for basically 10 minutes from now, then let's go with that, okay?
Imagine it's not going to be world-shattering if we don't, and the Foundation has larger than that. Where are we here? Ms. Kasanev, do you have a point of order?
Yes, sir. To start with, as a point of order about the continuous breach of the Pacifica bylaws and the California corporations.
Order.
Mr. Chair, please, can you call the member to order?
It's been done.
Okay.
And I'm not going to accept these outbursts by members.
I
realize we all get emotional. I apologize, Ms. Kasanev. Please continue.
If you have any doubts about corporate measures is the way the system is being used by the 2017 PMB that you preside on. Please refer to the controversies created by the last Monday, December 18, 2017, open meeting of the PMB, where directors are counted present from quorum, but they were not in the call. And you have Mr. Steinberg saying that when I asked for, when I noticed rescind of the motion, the intention of rescind the motion, he said that never was voted in. And the minutes of the secretary are pointing at that motion being approved, and Mr. Steinberg voted yes. That shows that the system that we are using are failing. That's why I repeat my point of order about and ask you to stop this violation of Article 6, meeting of the Board of Directors and the Corporation Code, the California Corporation Code. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kasanev. Mr. Secretary, Adriana has already forwarded to us her point of order. Please see to it that it's attached to the minutes of this meeting. Ms. Kasanev, I'm going to rule that we continue to use this system that we voted on over and over again. But in regards to last week, we did have problems last week, and Pacifica IT has informed me that the problems came from AT&T and not the Maestro system, and I'm going to go ahead and take Otis at his word at this time. But your point of order is once again noted, and it has been attached to the minutes. And we're at about 5 seconds left for agenda approval. So are there any additions or other changes to the agenda?
Yes.
Benito.
I hear. Okay, I'm going to go to Benito, then I'm going to go back to Adriana.
Guest is on the line, so.
Benito, I'm going to come back to your point of order. I know what they are. We'll take care of them, but we're going to go ahead and get this consultant out of the way. Here is Mr. Damon Silvers with the AFL-CIO. This looks like 15 minutes on the agenda. Mr. Silvers, I want to thank you for joining us, and if you'll take a moment to introduce yourself further, and you have the floor.
Sardin, point of order.
And I'm not going to take any points of order until this consultant is...
Sardin, point of order. This needs to be in closed.
Check your point of order.
It's not appropriate for closed session. I mean, it's not appropriate for open session. I know what this consultant is going to say, and it's not appropriate.
I don't know what the consultant is going to say, and if he says something that should be in closed session, we'll have to stop him. I'll remind our consultant.
It'll be too late then.
He is a lawyer with the AFL-CIO, and Mr. Silvers, I'll remind you, I'm sure you understand the difference between things that we can discuss in open session and in closed session. In open session, we don't discuss matters of personnel or legal or financial specifics, but general terms, things that are already public knowledge, we do discuss. And I am going to caution you to be careful, as the member requested, but once again, Mr. Silvers, you have the floor, and I'm not going to take any more points of order and information from here out. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. As you said, I'm Damon Silvers. In my day job, I'm the policy director and special counsel to the president of the National AFL-CIO. I'm not here in that capacity. I'm here as an individual who's been a longtime supporter for decades of Pacific's Washington, D.C. affiliate, WPFW. I've been working with a number of other individuals like myself in D.C. who are concerned about the future of community radio in our city and want to work with Pacifica and Pacifica's board to stabilize the overall situation of the Pacifica Foundation with respect to that objective. I think in relation to what I'm going to talk to you about now, I want to be clear about something up front that may be responsive to what the individual just raised concerns wanted to say. So I'm a member of the Bar of the State of Maryland and a member of the Bar of the District of Columbia. I'm not a member of the Bar of California. And so I cannot give you legal advice as to the specific specifics of Pacifica's legal situation. What I can do, and what I think I was asked to do, was to draw upon my experience in dealing with troubled situations in a number of different institutions to try to give you all some advice in terms of strategy for how to approach the situation that Pacifica finds itself in. I'm not going to tell you anything that – I'm not going to discuss anything I think that is secret or confidential. As far as I understand it, the matters I'm about to raise with you have been subject to public discussion – I mean, have been subject to open discussion by this group already.
Inappropriately.
Well,
I'm going to call you later, Miss. I'm going to mute your phone. Go ahead, Mr. Silver.
From my end, I'll also say I'm not privy to anything, confidential documents here. So I may not, if I have something wrong factually, I hope someone will correct me. But this is my understanding of the situation that Pacifica finds itself in. You have a judgment, and that's a matter of public record. You have a judgment against you, against Pacifica for slightly less than $2 million. Plus additional interest, which makes the actual value of the judgment probably a little bit more than $2 million. The party holding that judgment in the Empire State Realty Trust has filed to be able to execute on that judgment, and I think at this point all of the states in which Pacifica has assets. My understanding is that in some informal way, they have indicated that they are not particularly interested in actually executing on that right to seize assets imminently. But they do have the legal right. That is, at least they are serving at the legal right. But those things seem to be matters of public record. The following thing is also true, which is that this judgment is not the only obligation. It's not the only debt. It's not the only obligation that Pacifica has. And that Pacifica's total debts are significantly larger than the $2 million that they have. At the same time, Pacifica owns properties, and Pacifica has other assets, including broadcast equipment and licenses, which, again, all matter of public record, which are worth substantially more than the $2 million judgment, if they could be realized, which is a big if, and there's lots of reasons why there'd be obstacles in the way. Furthermore, it seems as though Pacifica today does not have the $2 million in cash in hand to be able to pay this judgment. Now, that creates a situation in which serious harm could result to both Pacifica and or to the Pacifica creditor, the Empire State Realty Trust, if events continue to drift. Meaning that if the Empire State Realty Trust sought to essentially seize Pacifica's property as best it could, that would potentially impose this very serious cost and damage to Pacifica's ability to function and meet its mission, and would be disorderly and destructive in ways that would go beyond the $2 million that's actually owed. On the other hand, if Pacifica were forced to file bankruptcy, file Chapter 11, then Empire State Realty Trust would not be first in line. They would be one among a number of creditors, all unsecured. It's my understanding that there aren't any liens on Pacifica's major assets. So they would be one among many creditors, all unsecured, that would be contesting for... over Pacifica's assets. That would put them in a substantially worse position than the one they're in now, where they are first in line and the only major creditor which has a right to demand and obtain immediate cash payment. Therefore, you have a situation in which it's really important that that Pacifica have the ability to seek Chapter 11 protection if you're forced to, and to be able to do so quickly. And B, that you use that you're clear with Empire Realty that if they are willing to exit to work with you to stabilize this situation by executing what's called a standstill agreement, if you can do that with them, then they can protect, then you can protect your mutual interests, meaning that they will remain first in line, right, and that you will not, the Pacifica will not be faced with the imminent threat of having random assets seized and sold, or seized and you're deprived of the use of them. Now, furthermore, there's a third piece to this, which is that in order to do this, you really have to set in motion a process that gives Empire Realty some confidence that you will raise the money in a defined and reasonable period of time. Typically, a situation like this, you might ask for a 60-day or a 90-day standstill. So there are three components to how you stabilize this situation and avoid mutually destructive actions. The first is to be ready to file Chapter 11. The second is to ask for a formal standstill agreement, not an informal kind of like we're working on it, but a formal agreement. And thirdly, that you be prepared, that you're in fully engaged in raising the financing, and I have a plan for doing so. My advice to you, and the strong view of our group in Washington, which includes major WPFW donors, and by the way, people whom I believe, although I don't know for sure because it's a California law matter, we are people to whom your board owes a fiduciary duty. We strongly urge you to take this course of action. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and take a step back. Lawfer. I'm sorry, hold on. Who was that before Lawfer? Adriana.
Adriana
and Ken Lawfer. Next. Okay, Adriana Kasteff.
Catherine Davis.
And Davis and Nancy. Okay, that's what I may have heard a fifth person, but I'm going to read what I have. I have Adriana, Ken Lawfer, I had Nancy, then someone just before Nancy. Benito, was it?
Davis. It was Catherine.
Sorry. I wrote it too fast. Catherine Davis. Okay, let me just start with four, and then we'll come back. Adriana Kasteff, you have the floor.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank you, the listener that came here as a listener to talk to us. But I just sent to the PMB in confidential way a paper that I just received to prove that our secret accounts authorized by the interim executive director. And proof, have proof that delinquency, self-dealing, and fraud. I have proof of that. I shall send it to the PMB, and I want the listeners to know that we are on this, and we are taking the steps that are necessary. I shall send it to everyone.
Okay, was that a question, Ms. Kasteff? And you said you sent... Everything, the most recent thing that we have from you is the continuous breach of Pacifica. Maybe it'll pop through in a moment. But if you don't have a question, I'm going to move on to questions because we have a large stack here. Thank you for your shape.
I explained already the sad proof of delinquency, self-dealing, and fraud that are being committed against the Pacifica Foundation. And the
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kasteff. We're going to move on to the next speaker. Ken Lawfer, if you would.
Okay. Mr. Silver, you mentioned an agreement, and you said it very fast. What was the name of that special agreement?
I'm sorry. I think you're referring to what I suggested in general terms, which is that you get an agreement with the Empire State Realty Trust, which is the party that has a legal judgment that they're trying to collect on, that you get what's called in distress situations like this, a standstill agreement. Standstill agreement. It's very simple.
Okay.
Nobody does.
I just want to know the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let me just say, because other people may be confused. It's a very simple idea. It's that everybody agrees to do nothing for a period of time, right? And the idea is to give the Pacifica Foundation time to get to organize the money to pay them. On the other hand, you agree not to do anything that would impair their, you know, their claim against you, their ability to collect. You both agree to do nothing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chair.
Thank you. Yes.
Excuse me. Alexander, are you on? Alexander Randall?
This is Alex Randall calling from the United States Virgin Islands. Good evening. And
okay. Let me get to you in a few minutes here. Okay, Chair, so you're aware that he's online.
I'm going to have to cut this short because we do have our affiliates and guests joining us tonight, and we want to be respectful of them. Ms. Davis, you want to ask your question?
Yes, my question was simple. I'm sorry, but you said that you were prepared to help raise money with the radio station. I don't think we have time to go into it, but I would be grateful if you would actually send some explanation of that to the PNB so that we could understand what you are talking about. And as far as I'm aware, the ESRT has not agreed to any agreements to stop the process. And the only time that they seemed at all cooperative in their attitude was when they discovered that we were moving to raise the funds. So I feel that being able to demonstrate that we're raising funds is the best way to get any kind of traction on agreements. So if you have a proposal for that, I simply ask you to send it to us. Thank you.
Can I just
sure,
comment on that?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I don't think.
Yes, Aki?
No, let Mr. Downland speak.
Okay, go ahead.
I very much agree with the person who just spoke that in order to deal with this situation, there has to be a credible effort and plan to be able to raise the money to honor the judgment within a defined period of time. As I said earlier, I think Pacifica needs to do three things in order to have a clear path to stabilizing this situation in the short term. The first is to be in a position to file Chapter 11, because if you are not in a position to do that, then there is no reason, right, why the ESRT shouldn't simply seize your assets. Okay? Secondly, you should be seeking from them a standstill agreement. And thirdly, you should be seeking a standstill agreement while you while you're able to credibly represent to them that you're making a serious and well-founded effort to raise to obtain the cash to honor the judgment. Those three things need to be done together. Now, in terms of what our group in Washington is prepared to do, let me be clear: we are talking among ourselves as supporters of community radio in the District of Columbia. And we are trying to figure out what resources we can marshal to support and stabilize community radio in the District of Columbia. Right. And so in the very short term, that may well be helpful to what you need to do. All right. And we would like it to be. But I want you to hear clearly what our purpose is.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to move on to our affiliate. I'm just going to give her a couple minutes since she was the last person on the stack. Ms. Sorden, want to ask your question briefly, and then we'll move on?
Yes. Thank you so much. I think you adhered to open session the need to keep confidential information and
good.
Not discuss in open session. Thank you. I would like to ask you, what is your area of expertise? What do you specialize in?
What do I specialize in? Well, at the moment, I'm the policy director of the AFL-CIO, and so I specialize in pretty much everything. But My background and training is in corporate finance and corporate law. I have an MBA and a law degree from Harvard Law School and Harvard Business School. I clerked in the Delaware Chancery Court, which is the primary court that interprets fiduciary duty for business corporations. I represented the employees who were laid off at WorldCom and Enron, successfully obtaining more than $100 million for them in bankruptcy. I helped restructure and rescue a union-owned insurance company, Ulico, in the context of a corruption issue, and recovered approximately $30 million from people who stole it from that company, stabilized the firm. I was the vice chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel for TARP with Elizabeth Warren. That panel oversaw the rescue of the U.S. financial system. That's my expertise.
That sounds wonderful. Have you ever helped anybody collect on a judgment?
Yes, yeah. I have. That $30 million I referred to, well, it wasn't exactly a judgment. We forced it out of people using the threat of getting a judgment. Every
did you get a judgment? Did you get the judgment?
We did get, well, did we get a judgment? I think in every case, the parties settled rather than go the final 9 yards, so to speak.
How long did the final 9 yards take?
Okay, I'm sorry. That's enough questions. We're going to have to move on to the next agenda.
Let me just answer that question in the manner that is relevant to you all.
Okay.
I do not know the details, and I cannot give you an opinion under California law as to the nature of. I can't give you an opinion under California law as to the nature of the process that would be involved in California in executing on a judgment. But I can tell you, okay, that in other states, particularly in the District of Columbia, there's no waiting period. And that you are highly, highly vulnerable right now. And you have a counterparty who has no reason to do it. There's no real reason to wait.
But how long would it take them to do that in D.C.? How long would it take them in D.C.?
Mr. Chair, well, point of order.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to end it here.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Silvers, for your time. And we're going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the affiliate director's interviews. We're a couple minutes late for that, but sure, we'll make it up. We have 73 minutes, which is the oddest number I've ever seen on an agenda, but 73 minutes for this item. And who is the first person, Aki?
Alexander Randall. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Alexander Randall. I'm the professor of communication at the University of the Virgin Islands. Over the last 5 years, I've developed the university's radio station, WUVI, which is an affiliate station of the Pacifica Foundation. I'm a longtime fan of Pacifica. I listened to WBAI as a child. In college, I set up an antenna on the roof of my building so I could listen to WBAI. Listened to KPFT for many years while living in Houston. When I got to the University of the Virgin Islands and set up a radio station, the first thing I did was set up to be an affiliate of Pacifica. I'd be pleased to serve the Pacifica board in any way that I can. Over.
Thank you, Mr. Randall. And do we have questions?
Nancy and Jen are preparing questions, right?
That's correct. Nancy and Jan preparing the questions.
No.
What is the period? What's time period for questions and answers? 13 minutes. 13 for each. For each person.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Aki, what did you just say? I'm sorry. Request for information. What did you just say about Jan and I?
I thought
you guys
saying the
questions. Are you correct?
Doreen, one at a time. I came here both at the same time. Please. Thank you.
He was wrong.
Serene and Jen. I forget who the two were. But.
Yes. Serene and Jen. I still don't understand. Could y'all just be quiet and let Aki speak a second?
Okay, I was mistaken. It's Serene and Jen. That's right.
Okay. Never mind. Thank you.
Serene, would you like to go first, or should I go first?
You can go first. Thanks.
Okay. So, as you may have heard, Pacifica is in a serious financial crisis. One result is that the PNB has been meeting frequently and trying to consider ways to address our situation. Our meetings are sometimes contentious, and they run from 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time to around midnight, sometimes even later than that. So you want to be sure that your schedule allows for your participation. Would that work for your participation?
Well, I'm actually here in the Atlantic time zone, so it's 10 o'clock at night for me, and I run my life pretty much on my own schedule. So occasional meetings that go until midnight or beyond sound like about 2 a.m. by my guess, and I believe in what you're doing enough to commit the time to that. That's why I volunteered for the position.
Great. It's recently it's been like weekly, just to give you that piece of information. So which, if any, internet or social media features or functions has your station used successfully or maybe needs help using successfully, and what do you see as the immediate future of terrestrial broadcast?
Well, I'm a fan of terrestrial broadcasting. I think it's the gold standard for broadcasting. We have an AM station, we have an FM, low-power FM station, but I'm noticing that our service that we work through KPFT in Houston using the IceCast has more listeners than our AM or our FM channel. We are a university radio station. Our students listen to the station primarily on their phones. And very few of our students own radios, terrestrial old-fashioned radios. We're also noticing that we're getting a tremendous response from people around the world who have no direct contact with our university, but are just fascinated with what we're doing. And that's all happening through our streaming service that we work with Otis at KPFT. So I'm a total fan of that. We're working on a project right now to, we're using a service that allows us to interact with the listeners through social media. I don't have the name of it right in front of me, but it is a project that we're working on right now. And by and large, our students are much more social media savvy than any of the professors or adults who work with them. And they all work with Facebook Live and Facebook channels while they're on air. So I think the future of radio is a terrestrial broadcast with a feedback loop that comes back through social media. And that should be pursued everywhere. The audience ability to interact with the on-air staff through social media has just changed the whole media. The whole dynamic is modernized. So I'm a fan of that, and I support it. Over.
Great. Next question.
Ring. What do you think, welcome, by the way, good night. What do you think your station can offer to Pacifica?
Well, that's really a problem. I'm not sure, other than my enthusiasm for your board, that we have any particular assets. We're much more consumers of your services than we are generators of novel service. The flip side of that is that we are a Caribbean entity. We're the only historically black college and university outside continental U.S. We do bring a Caribbean perspective to the air, and we have the potential to produce shows that might be of value or interest to the Caribbean diaspora living around continental U.S. So we're hopeful that we could bring you some material that might be interesting. Right at the moment, what we're doing is pretty limited. We've just come through two Cat 5 hurricanes, so we have some pretty limited resources right now, just in terms of the students' operation and how much material we're making. Over.
Hello, this is
Chair. Chair, is that possible to get everybody mute their phones? There's a lot of noise in the background. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, folks, if you don't have the floor, please mute your phones. Okay, continue with the questions, please.
Would you like to ask would you like to ask us any questions? Do you have any questions to ask us? And Mansoor, can you tell us how much more time we have with this candidate?
I think it's Aki keeps the tally for the category.
Because he says at a little late, let's give another 3 minutes.
Okay.
Because the other guest is already on, so Robin can wait a couple of minutes here. Okay, go ahead.
My questions for the board are very simple. I've been listening for the last 15 minutes. It's obvious that you have a major financial issue going on. I'm not privy to the details of it, but I've never known a time in history when Pacifica hasn't been confronted with financial issues. This is a resilient organization that thrives on its service to the community. And if we keep focused on the service to the community and the special skills that Pacifica brings to the world, the financial issues will resolve themselves. I'm a true believer in listener-sponsored radio, and I'm a true believer in the Pacifica concept. I'm a card-carrying Quaker. I believe in what we're doing. Over.
Nancy?
Oh, by the way, Robin, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Robin, next in.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Sorden, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. What do you think?
I'm sorry. Point of order.
I'm sorry, I thought she had a point of information. Ms. Roberts?
Okay, the motion was that two directors would work on the questions and ask the questions. It's not open for questions from everyone. We have 13 minutes per candidate.
Understood, and I was definitely not trying to change that. I thought...
I could maybe write the guy. What's your name again?
This is Alex Randall. My email is alex@einland.com.
You don't have to give it out on the stream. She has
access.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah. Right, we can give her your contact information.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Aki?
Yeah, next is Robin Frederick. She can introduce herself first.
Hi, my name is Robin Frederick, and I am the general manager of Forward Radio here in Louisville, Kentucky. We are WFNP.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that my name is Robin Frederick. I am the general manager of Forward Radio. Our call letters are WFNP. We are a low-power community-based radio station. And so I'm interested in having this interview with you guys and hearing, you know, what you have to say and also answering your questions that you may have for me.
Okay, great. Thank you and welcome. This is the interview for 2018 Affiliate Directors to the Pacifica National Board. We expect that the entire interview would take about 13 minutes. As you may have heard, Pacifica is in a serious financial crisis, and one result is that the PNB has been meeting frequently, almost weekly. Our meetings begin Thursday night at 8:30. We call it date night because we love each other so much. And we run to about midnight.
Okay.
So, you'll sort of have to carve out that time if you were to join the board. In about 2 minutes or so, if you could tell us a bit about your station's mission and the communities you serve.
Sure. So Ford Radio's mission is to continue to develop formats for local community engagement that, A, give voices to the voiceless, B, engender understanding, reconciliation, and also collaboration among diverse groups, and catalyze local efforts to network, organize, find a common language and other ways to strengthen our community and our democracy. In Louisville, I'd like to say that we're slightly more progressive than most cities, but we do have issues within community and bringing our community together. There's three local grassroots radio stations in Louisville, but we're one of the only stations that actually solicit our community members to have a program with us, which means basically if we or if I know someone or if any of my programmers know anyone or even call out on air, you know, hey, you're listening, so do you have anything important or of value that you would like to say on air? If you'd like to be on someone's program or if you'd like to have your own program, please reach out to us. Go to our website, submit a proposal. And that's not very common to do, and we're really just trying to engage everyone and bring everyone to the table, whether it be dealing with racism or political oppression. It could also be with human trafficking, climate issues, anything, economic issues. And we just invite anybody to be on air with us as long as what they have to say is it holds valuable, you know, content on their program.
Okay, great. Thanks. Jan? Jan, are you there?
I'm sorry, I was talking to a muted phone. I apologize. So what internet or social media features, if any, has your station used successfully or attempting to use? And and what do you see as the immediate future of terrestrial broadcasting?
Okay, so what we currently use right now is we utilize Twitter, we utilize Instagram, and we also utilize Facebook. As far as the most next important thing that we as a station is that, I'm sorry, I could have barely heard you. What was your last bit of that question?
I'm sorry, just one moment, please. We're having a little problem.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Ms. Simon, go ahead.
Okay, so I was asking about what, so you answered about how what you're using, and can you tell us how you're using it and what do you see as the future of the immediate future of terrestrial broadcasting?
So the way that we're using it right now is we've been doing a lot of community outreach, and so our first steps, what we've been doing is we just did this thing called Giving Tuesday, which I'm assuming everyone knows about. And what I had some programmers do is to make videos of themselves talking about Giving Tuesday, but also about our station and why our community should care about our station. And so we do videos. We do a lot of audio, so we'll do that with Facebook, and we do some videos with Instagram. And, you know, so it's really just trying to allow our community to see who's behind each program. So we do introductions. Sometimes we'll do social media takeovers. And just try to have a good time and try to play to each, like, every aspect of our community. It, you know, it's kind of difficult to do at times, so we just really try to think outside the box. And then to answer the end of your questions about terrestrial radio, I believe you asked what is the next most important thing, you know, and it's meaning to try, as far as the regulations of FCC and all that good stuff, trying to stay on air and try, especially community radio, is just to continue to provide, like, an opportunity for people who cannot access television or cannot read to keep up to date on the news and trends. You know, radio, like community radio, it provides like portable entertainment and information for many, you know. And so I don't remember the percentage. I'm going to shoot and say 80% of people listen to their radio in their car. So it's important for community radio to stay more than just for emergency announcements and communication during disasters. I mean, community radio provides outlets for normal community messaging, activities such as like sports, events, special events, local business advertising, and that's really what we use for with our station is to broadcast things that people cannot attend, like conferences or speaker series, workshops. So we'll go around and we'll record, and then we'll provide that content on air. And we also we're on SoundCloud, so we upload, turn our things into podcasts, and try to provide people with that MP3 audio files as well.
Great. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions for our board?
You know, I didn't mean to butt in at the end of your previous person I was interviewing, but honestly, I don't really have any questions. I mean, I know that Pacifica is, you know, having some financial issues, but I attended the grassroots radio conference in Albany and spoke to Ursula about what's going on. So honestly, I don't really have any serious questions for you guys. I mean, you've been pretty honest and open.
Okay. Aki, about how much more time, if any, do we have with Robin?
Aki.
Yes, you're on mute too.
I know you're in there.
We're about at time.
You know, I can tell you at the about 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. Sorry, I was muted.
Okay.
5 minutes.
Jan and Serene, if you had the
I'm
sorry, wait.
Go ahead, Serene.
I'm sorry, just a minute, please. I heard 2 minutes and I heard 5 minutes. Who's keeping the segment time? Because we want to be more or less consistent.
2 minutes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Serene, if you want to ask a question.
Nancy, thanks for information.
Jonathan,
hang on a second.
Just a moment. Nancy.
Can we find out what Nancy,
what's your question?
I'm sorry. Apologize for not knowing this, but do we have any other interviewees?
Yes.
Do we have any what?
Any more?
Other interviewees?
We're speaking with five people tonight.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Benito, point of order.
Yes, Mr. Diaz.
Thank you. I just heard the previous interviewee mention that she heard the last part of the interview before her. If that is the case, then I think that this is highly improper. The interviewees should not be hearing the questions being asked and the answers being given by other interviewees.
Okay, so
may I respond?
Yes, Serene Benaki.
I'm going to. It's here. It's open. Francis in Oklahoma with KDOY Community Radio and a Pacifica affiliate.
Thank you, Ms. Francis. If you could just hang on and let us wrap up the current interview. We're running a bit behind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Certainly, I'll hang on.
Don't hang up. Hang on.
Yes, I'll hang on shortly.
So I wanted to respond to Benito to say that these calls have always been streamed and they've always been open.
So, yeah, in a sense, you know, the people who are further down the line have an advantage, but it is what it is.
That's why I'm raising the point of order.
I understand, but this is an open meeting, and we are on the live stream.
So everybody can hear everything, whether they're on the phone or just listening on the stream.
Okay, well, I object to this process, but anyway.
Okay.
We continue the process
because we're literally right in the middle of the process. I'm going to rule that we continue. And Ms. Roberts?
Mary Frances is on the line now.
Yes,
okay.
Ms.
Roberts, you can finish, and then we can transition on.
Ms. Frederick, I just want to thank you very much for your time, and the PND secretary will get back in touch with you with regard to the next steps and the timeline we're working on.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you ready for me now?
Yes, we are indeed. Ms. Frances, if you would tell us a bit about your... Well, let me start at the beginning. Hello, Mary Frances.
Hi, this is Mary Frances. Thank you.
Welcome. We're conducting interviews for the 2018 Affiliate Director Candidates. We expect to be with you for about 13 minutes.
Okay, who am I speaking with?
This is Serene Roberts. I'm one of the directors. My partner in this is Jan Goodman, and she'll be chiming in shortly. Just want to give you a bit of background. Pacifica is dealing with a very serious financial situation. We've been having national board meetings frequently in the past month or two. We meet generally on Thursdays from about 8:30 Eastern and wrap up around midnight. So there goes your Thursday night. So what we'd like to start with is if you would take a couple of minutes and tell us about your station's mission and the communities that you serve, and then, as I said, Jan Goodman will ask you a question.
Yes, our station's mission basically is to be as much local programming as possible. Our community mission is to provide a voice for those folks who don't often get a voice, and to provide real news. We plan to do, and are doing Democracy Now!, and we had hoped to have free speech radio news, but don't find it. We do Ralph Nader, and we do a lot of science. I spoke with the Union of Concerned Scientists. I've been a member for over 30 years, and asked them to please get their Got Science program, 30-minute program, into a 30-minute format, and they said they would try to do that, and so that I can upload it to and put it on for AudioPort. We really depend upon the AudioPort, and that's a wonderful program, but we are rapidly working on getting a lot more local programming, like a couple of doctors, one in Spanish, one in English, that are going to be putting on their program. So that's where I can read you our mission statement if you'd like to hear it.
No, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
I think we want to hear more from you.
Okay. So about what? What we're doing?
Yeah, and well, maybe a little bit about you personally, because you're going to be the person who's sitting on the board.
Okay. Yes. Well, I am. Three quarters of a century old. I plan on having another 25, 30 years of kicking ass, as I tell people. I've been on several boards. I was on the Oklahoma Freedom of Information, Inc. board back in the 90s. on the Oklahoma League of Women Voters State Board recently, and also on the local steering board. President of the Oklahoma Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, was on the Norman Enforcement Authority for 6 years, and then when I came back to Norman again, they asked me to be back on it. So that was it's basically an ethics board that oversees the elections. It's and then the Norman Recycling Association, which we fondly call the NRA. Right. And Sierra Club for over 30 years, Union of Concerned Scientists, Audubon, PFLAG, all of those, that's me. I do a lot of public speaking and politically active.
So let me ask you, what, if any, internet or social media features or functions has your station used successfully or maybe needs to use successfully, and what do you see as the immediate future of terrestrial broadcasting?
Yeah, terrestrial broadcasting. Well, we are in a more rural area where they listen to the radio more frequently than I would think. And, of course, in the urban areas where they, the rural areas still use radio a lot. But as far as the internet, we haven't used the internet. We are right now, three different times I've tried to set up streaming, and every time the people who were doing that, it fell through or they moved. So now I think I finally got it nailed down, and we should be up and streaming so that people can access anywhere. That's our immediate goal. We use a lot of the audio port programs, and that's the local programming that we do. We have an hour program that's local bands mostly. We have a program called Pause Cafe, which is basically interviews. We've done interviews of two former speakers of the House. Interview of Black Lives Matter. There was an urban farmer, delightful urban farm right in the middle of Norman, Oklahoma, where the University of Oklahoma is, that we interviewed. There's a Rumi scholar that we interviewed. I mean, just a lot of different programs like that. We have a young man who has a huge collection of 45s, and he wants to spend 45s for a program. And then I just talked with my friend who has a publishing house who does poetry, and she wants to interview others and create that kind of a program.
Great.
We have a contract with the Dean of International Studies here at the university. She does a World Views program, 30-minute program, where she talks to, we have experts on Syria and the Middle East and all kinds of programs, Brazil, et cetera.
Okay, that's great. Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
What do you think your station can offer to Pacifica?
To Pacifica, well, we already have been uploading things to AudioPort, and I anticipate offering all of these programs that are right now in the works, and that would be given access to any of those programs. I would like to actually see if I couldn't help with some of the financial problems. I did all of the fundraising, basically, for getting this station on the air. It's a full-power station. I had got about, I think it was like 26,000 in grants. I've never written a grant before, but I was never turned down whenever I wrote them. Did a little over 100,000 in fundraising so that we could buy our equipment and et cetera. And the emphasis on the news, real news, real investigative news, and I'd really like to see the free speech radio come back again. And focus on community. You know, that's what we're about here, is trying to build local community, and that's what I thought Pacifica was actually supposed to be.
Excellent. Do you have any questions for our board?
Well, I would like to know where we're at as far as the legal. I know that there was a lawsuit that Pacifica lost, and I'd just like to find out if there's any mechanism that could get us out from under that contract. I know that they've been trying to do that. And also, are there any former people on the Pacifica boards or affiliated with Pacifica that are willing to jump in and help, who might have some bigger, better background than I do? I don't have that much of a background issues.
So, just very briefly, as far as the legal struggle goes, that's what we're spending all of our time on, is trying to deal with it. I don't think that we're going to get out from under the judgment. We just have to figure out how to pay it and how to keep our head above water until then. And I think it's really a good idea to think about former board members who we might incorporate into trying to solve our problems. So that's a very, very good suggestion.
Yeah, we actually hear from a number of former board members, the obsession doesn't die once you leave the board. So we have been hearing from folks. But that's
right.
Certainly there are people who walked away, and there are people who ran away, some of whom might actually be very helpful at this point.
Where are we in terms of time, Aki? Hello.
Hello.
I'm gonna.
Sorry, we're trying to just check the time.
Here.
Did you?
It's just Terry. Where are we at time? We're at about 38 minutes for this.
I can tell you, we write our time.
Individual one.
Segment.
Mansoor can speak to that. We write our time. We got like 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right. So I kind of felt that way. Well, thank you very much. And can you just tell us the name of your station again? And is it low power? How much watts?
It is a full power. It is 6K. It is a full power. It is KBOY, B as in voice. We are called the Voice of You, B-O-Y, Voice of You, K-B-O-Y. And we are a community-oriented full-power radio station located in a rural area, the largest city is a village. It's like 3,000 and 6,000 are the two largest areas. But we are in an area where we are first public stations. They only other stations are those religious people. That was one of the main reasons why I got into radio.
And where are you located? Exactly.
It is located in Garvin County, close to city by the name of Paul's Valley, no apostrophe, Paul's Valley, and Wynnewood. We actually, our Wynnewood is about 5 miles away from Paul's Valley and about 3,000 people. That is where our, where when we give our call letters, we say we are in, from Wynnewood, located in Wynnewood. But Paul's Valley is
And can you tell our listeners what state you're in?
In Oklahoma.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Garvin County in Oklahoma. It's south central Oklahoma. And we have about... we have about 40 miles of I-35 that listens to us.
Good.
Which is
Thank
a major audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We want to
thank you
so much.
Very much.
The board secretary will get back in touch with you with regard to our timeline for voting and decision-making, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mayor.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Bye now.